If I had to pick one, I'd say I prefer building and then being able to sell after that. Because for me, at least, I like to be able to invest less of my own personal cash.
Welcome to the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Doust. Since 2007, Quiet Light Brokerage has been helping thousands of online entrepreneurs realize their dream of buying and selling online businesses. And now, we're bringing all the knowledge our team has acquired straight to you. No matter your niche or industry, these lessons, tips, and strategies will help you build, grow, acquire, or sell your online businesses better. And now, here's Joe and Mark.
Joe, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Mr. Doust. How about you?
Good. I understand you talked to a friend of Quiet Light and a friend of Brad, one of our brokers here, Chris Guthrie.
Yeah, Chris is from upfuel.com and AMA Suite. And I mentioned those up front because we didn't talk about it at all during the podcast. He's a entrepreneur, been self-employed for about 10 years, went off on his own after he got fired. He was actually talking to his coworkers and bragging about how much money he was making doing affiliate marketing. And his boss found out and fired him. Probably the best thing that ever happened to him because he's been doing very well ever since. And the subject of the podcast is really specifically focused on the Amazon affiliate space, meaning you build a site doing product reviews on, say, vacuum cleaners, and people look at those reviews, click on one that they like, and it takes them to Amazon. Somebody buys it on Amazon, you get paid. It's really Chris's, one of his areas of expertise. And I mentioned Upfuel, which is his podcast and his blog that he talks about this on. So I would recommend people tune in. But also AMA Suite, which is a software service that he's built that helps people sort of narrow the path in terms of what they want to find, what product, how to, what niche, what category. And he didn't talk about it at all. He didn't pitch, he didn't promote. So I'm doing a little bit for him because what I was trying to get was a clear path for people that want to either build one from scratch or buy one and grow it or things of that nature. And I think that he was hesitant to talk about his own product because he's such a nice guy. He really, honestly, Mark, I'm going to don't let this go to your head, but he reminded me of you a little bit, which is he just wants to have conversations and help people. And when he helps people, it comes back around. And it was a great show. And I think it'll help a lot of people in terms of the Amazon affiliate space.
He reminded you of me, huh?
Yeah, just be better looking, a lot better looking.
The poor fellow. All right, well, let's get to it. I mean, if it's got to be good. So let's get to it then.
All right, here we go. Hey, folks, it's Joe Valley from Quiet Light Brokerage. And today I've got Chris Guthrie on the line with me. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
Chris, you're like you're a little bit of famous in my world, you know? You are. You're like a star. I know you from your podcast, and we've run in the same circles for years, but didn't get a chance to meet each other until last October, right, at the Rhodium event weekend out in Vegas. Turns out you're very good friends with one of our brokers here, Brad Wayland. You guys are in the same neck of the woods, I think, right?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm up in a little bit south of Seattle, and he's over... Yeah, several states, but
In the internet world, I guess you're in the same neck of the woods because you're
that's right.
He's from like Kansas. You guys don't even live close to each other.
Yeah,
but you talk to each other often.
Definitely. Yep.
Well, he speaks very highly of you. And as I said pre-intro here, we don't do fancy intros. I don't have your bio in front of me. I know about you. I know what you do a little bit, but I think the folks want to hear directly from you. So why don't you give us a little bit of background on how you got started in the internet space and what you do for a living these days?
Definitely. Yeah. So part of the reason why I try and put myself out there in the first place is just because it leads to conversations and other different types of opportunities. That's kind of something I decided a long time ago when I was getting into this online space that I wanted to blog about it and talk about it because it would lead to relationships and friendships that I could help people out and they could help me out. And that's sort of why when you said the famous thing, I don't really think that, but it's more just, that's kind of why I went with that direction. But I've pretty much just been doing various online businesses now for about 8.5 years full-time. On the Amazon affiliate side of things, that's actually how I was able to first leave my day job. Well, actually, I was fired, but I left that job and was able to just keep doing online stuff because my Amazon affiliate income had replaced my day job income. And so I just basically got to work the next day working on building more sites and growing the main primary site I had at the time. So other than the Amazon affiliate thing, I also run WordPress plugins, SaaS company, physical product company, and other different types of Amazon affiliate, or well, regular affiliate websites as well. So a bunch of different things that along the way, but yeah, been doing it for quite a while.
So what's your favorite in terms of running the business? Do you like the physical product space, which takes working capital and things of that nature, or the Amazon affiliate space?
It's tough to say because each one has its benefit, right? With the affiliate side of things, you know, you don't have to deal with any capital. It's just other than your initial capital to invest in the content creation and building a site out, there isn't going to be as many costs associated with that, especially once you get up and ranked and start making money. Then there's, in many cases, there's less ongoing expenses. But on the physical product side, you know, you're constantly putting in more cash. And in a lot of cases, it's just a matter of trying to delay the payment to yourself for as long as possible so you can continue to grow that business. I mean, everyone has a different goal in terms of what they want to do with any business type. But in the physical profit side, you've got to reinvest so much more. So I can't really answer, I guess, one way or the other. I think it really comes down to what people are most interested in. For me, I like both. And so that's kind of why I still kind of have my feet in both areas, both on the physical product side and the affiliate side, and then also selling software and things like that.
Gotcha. Well, as we talked a little bit before we started recording, I've sold a number of affiliate spaces, businesses where they're selling Amazon affiliate products and making money through Amazon affiliates. And it's becoming more and more prevalent in some of the event groups like Rhodium Weekend. A lot of folks getting very interested in that. I've always been in the physical product space. I had a couple of content sites, and my physical product site was actually write good quality content and Google will reward me was my methodology, and it happened, but I sold physical products. But the affiliate space is fascinating for me, and I think more and more people are wanting to learn more about it. So that's obviously why we're chatting today, and I want to really get your expertise on how do you get started in the space? How do you focus on growth? Can you ramp it up? Can you, you know, do pay-per-click? Do you do social media? Do you do the tricks and tactics that they do with physical products on Amazon? Or what's the approach? And then maybe keep in mind that we have both buyers and sellers that listen to the podcast. So tell me, you know, from a starting point, how do you begin in the Amazon affiliate space? Do you just simply research a product, pick one and go with it, do something you love? What would you recommend to those listening?
Yeah, definitely. So for the way I like to do things is I like to look into, it's more of a just general niche research. And that's, of course, when you say that word, there's a lot of baggage because there's a whole different bunch of different ways you can do this. You can, you know, use various tools to help with the research process. You can just go out to Google based on things you're interested in and do research in that way. On the Amazon affiliate side, that's what I spent more of my time doing, was focusing more on areas that I was most interested in personally. So I had a site that was focused on like smaller computers. And that was something that I was interested in personally. And so that's kind of how I decided, was I was looking at the various niches online and what people were ranking for and how they're making money. And it just seemed like a lot of the content that they were creating wasn't really, they in many cases, at least for the niche that I was in, before I sold that site, they weren't even actually reviewing the products that they were talking about. They were just basically writing articles and using CNET and other large conglomerates, larger websites, to come up with the information that they could write about. So it was, what I did instead was, you know, contacted these companies and got them to send me product for free, and I sent it back and did things like that. So with any site that I do, whether it's Amazon affiliate or anything else, it's for me, it's mainly about finding a way to differentiate. And so looking at any niche is just, okay, what can I do to be better or to better serve the audience than the existing niches that are out there.
Okay. And so I would think it would matter that it's something you're interested in, because with an Amazon affiliate space, you're reviewing the products, you're writing content about it, you're sharing your voice and your opinion. It seems like it would be important that it's something that you like.
Yeah, definitely. And that's, for me, that was the approach. I mean, I think that if the goal, and this isn't something that I've done personally, but if the goal is to really systemize and launch like dozens of sites or something like that, then you would need to just, you couldn't really do just things that you're interested in, because you could potentially run out of those. But you'd be looking at different types of criteria, just like what's the average selling price of the product. That's another thing to focus on as well, is if you're focusing on a niche where the price is much higher, then you can make, you know, more money in Amazon's affiliate program because of the way they have the structure of their affiliate payouts. But that's something to consider as well. It's just the price of the items that are going to be sold.
Okay, so focus a little bit on something that you like, but also look at the math behind it in terms of the Amazon affiliate payouts and the different categories that they have and the price points, because you're going to get a paid, you get paid a percentage of the closed transaction, I assume. Is that right? Can you touch on that a little bit? How you make money as an affiliate? Let's start from scratch and assume that people are tired of physical products or tired of SaaS products and they want to maybe buy one of these. How do you make money doing it? Go right into that a little bit.
Yeah, so the way that it's done pretty much is just focusing on, actually, I was going to try and pull up the actual chart because I don't have memorized it off the top of my head. But each category will have different types of payouts. And pretty much the way you can, I was going to try and pull it really quick, but I don't have it in front of me. So the way that I would do that is find.
So somebody reviews a product and let's say they're reviewing vacuum cleaners and someone sells vacuum cleaners on Amazon, obviously they do. And I'm talking about the reviews on those physical products and someone clicks on the link and goes to buy it on Amazon. I get paid a percentage of that, but I never have to own the physical product. That's the upside of this, right? I get a percentage of the sale, but never have to purchase the inventory, correct?
Exactly. Yep. And, okay. And pretty much I just wanted to find the category here. So every category is different and they'll show you, you know, what the fees are. Like I can give you one example. So if it's that, outdoor tools, for instance, that's 5.5% as a percentage that you'll get. And the great thing too is that anytime you send someone to Amazon, you'll get a commission on any product that they buy while they're on Amazon. And so even if you're referring people to vacuum cleaners, then you can get sales on other types of accessories as well within a 24-hour window. That's the cookie length for Amazon.
Excellent. So I know that with physical products, you can get to the top fairly fast. There's different processes and categories, not just on Amazon, but if you're selling a physical product, all you need to do is pay some PPC ads, for instance, just Google AdWords. It's not a winning formula, obviously, all the time. But with affiliate, how are you getting traction? How are you getting up to page one of the search engines? And is it a short-term game or is it a long-term game?
Yeah, it's definitely more of a long-term game. With any website that I'm trying to build out and rank, it's more of kind of like what you said, you're creating content or someone's creating content for you, looking at what's ranking there and then seeing, okay, what can I do that's better than that? And then having someone or doing it yourself, creating out that content and creating something better. Things that you can do to accelerate the process of trying to rank would be, you know, building links and doing things like that. For me, most of the time, it's more of an emphasis on the content creation aspect. But like in the case of the example site I was referring to before that I sold, I would do things like trying to, because mine was a technical category, I would try to do things like break news within that niche. And then I would contact larger sites to say, hey, this product is available on Amazon now. And like Engadget and other types of sites like that had linked back to my site because of doing that. And so that was like another way to try and help with getting more link authority from external sites that would help with the content that I was creating for that site. But that's kind of the process. And I would never do anything like paid advertising for affiliate sites. And I'm not sure of any Amazon affiliate person out there that's doing that. For me, I just have never even tested it just because I know that the margins you're getting from the sales of the products that you're referring, rather,
yeah,
there's not really enough money, I feel like, to drive then paid traffic to try and convert that paid traffic.
Right.
Years and years ago, people would do, you know, just direct paid advertising straight to Amazon's website. And you could do that before they banned it. But that was like years and years ago. So.
Gotcha. Well, they get smarter every year and fix the problems and make it tougher. And the people that are doing it right, I think, survive in the long run. And those that cheated to get to the top end up getting kicked to the curb, hopefully anyway.
Yeah.
So with an Amazon affiliate site, some people have the impression that if you've got a physical product site that you're constantly managing customer service, constantly managing inventory, and that it's a grind. You got to constantly, churn out new SKUs to stay on top of the competition. And then, of course, grow beyond Amazon.com to the different countries. It sounds like, and some people get the impression that it sounds like, seems like, Amazon affiliate would be build it and let it grow slowly and it's a lot less work. But from what you just said, which is breaking news and staying on top of things, you're putting in the same kind of effort on a daily basis, I would assume, with an affiliate business as you are with a physical products business, or is that not the case?
It's not necessarily the case. I think it really depends on the niche that you're in, because, you know, like before we hit record, you know, you mentioned another mutual friend that does Amazon affiliate things as well.
Ewan Fisner, let's just say his name out loud, or Finzer. Yeah. It's Ewan. Yeah. He's a great guy. For anybody that doesn't know him, find him through Rhodium Weekend. He's fantastic.
Yeah. And so he's probably a good person to have on as well, but he doesn't do any link building, right? He focuses more on just creating the content, and that's similar to the strategy that I do as well. But in the case of the niche that I was in specifically, before I sold that site, doing that as a strategy was, I knew there was a benefit there, because I think one time Engadget linked to the site and they didn't change the affiliate link. I think it was like several thousand dollars in affiliate fees that day. But in that case, it was more just like, here's something that fits.
You didn't point out that mistake to the underling that did that.
Normally, it's just like a tip line. You just say, hey, here's this product that's out now, and people are probably excited about it, and it's available on Amazon now. And yeah, so that was a nice little bonus. But so that was more of like niche specific. I definitely think that probably more often than not, actually, you're building out affiliate sites, because I had other sites as well, and have other sites that it's not like that, where we're not trying to break news or do things like that. It's just more niche specific. And even people in the technical space that don't want to do that approach, then they don't have to. That's just kind of the style that we chose for that site.
Okay. So good quality content, SEO friendly, over the long run, and theoretically you'll get rewarded. Is that the basic simplified dumbed down approach?
Yeah. I mean, it does simplify it, but that's really kind of the core. And I think I really emphasize just the differentiation aspect. Like any site that I build, it's always like, okay, I don't really want to enter this area unless I'm willing to do something, you know, multiple times better than what's already there. And so that's the approach I take for really building any site.
And what are some of the mistakes that you've made then in terms of doing these affiliate sites? I mean, what did you learn the hard way?
So some of the mistakes I made was, at least for me personally, I do better having fewer sites and just focusing on doing really well with those sites, as opposed to having many sites. Like another person you probably know, Spencer, he years and years ago, he used to do like, you know, hundreds of niche websites and make money from Google AdSense. Mm-hmm. For me, I never was interested in doing that type of approach and systemizing it in that way. But for me, at least, it was just a matter of trying to focus on too small of niches. And so like, I think I had one that was on like HDMI cable reviews, which was a fail, because that was HDMI cables are inexpensive. And then it's also just kind of a small niche, and well, not necessarily a small niche, but it was harder to do well with that one than some of the other niches I went after.
Doesn't seem like it would change a whole lot over the years either.
Yeah. I mean, they'll change the standards in terms of like new 4K signals and things like that. But yeah, it was just like, if you can go with higher price items, that's helpful, right? With the part that I was doing is computers, and so it'd be, you know, or smaller laptops rather, that mm-hmm. would be more of a payout each time.
Okay. I had an example given to me maybe December, January, you know, someone that was passionate about, I think it was saltwater fishing. And writing a blog about saltwater fishing, and within that, you know, doing the affiliate links on the different tackle and lures that you could get with saltwater fishing. Would that be, you know, an approach that someone could take? You know, if I have a passion like that, whether it's saltwater fishing or basket weaving, if you will, to build a site based upon that passion, and then, you know, just go with that approach. And then the follow-up question is, all right, great. How do I learn about SEO as you have over the years? What resources do you have? Because it seems, again, really simplified to say, just build a site that you really are passionate about, find great products, review them, and off you go. But you still got to build an SEO-friendly site and write good content that the Google's going to love, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So going back to the example, if you're building out just a site that you're passionate about, and then trying to then add Amazon affiliate as like a monetization, kind of like an add-on, I think it's harder to make Amazon a larger portion of the revenue for that site if the goal isn't from the start, like, hey, we're going to build out like a more of a review type site, as opposed to here's something we're interested in about, just general information. And then here is, you know, why you're reading this article happened to maybe interested in this specific, you know, lure or whatever the example is you gave.
Saltwater fishing.
Yeah. So yeah. That, just from what I've been looking at sites in the past, it just seems like that's more challenging. What usually ends up happening in those types of cases, the website owner usually ends up making a larger portion of their money just from banner ads or other types of ad platforms like that. And then Amazon is more of a supplemental, as opposed to the sites that I would build would be more really focused around the review side of things. And so it would just be like, people that are coming to this content are interested in reviews about this product. And so then that traffic is more likely to buy something than people that are just interested in general information come to my site, and then they may or may not be in a buying state.
So a clear differentiation is a content site that's just giving information about products in general versus a review site when you're comparing a variety of different products. And when you choose one of those products, it's going to Amazon and you get a percentage of that revenue. That'd be right?
Yeah. And I don't think it's a bad thing to do the earlier example where you're building out, because it's great to generate revenue from ads and just have like a lot of traffic as well, just from various articles you're writing and all about saltwater fishing, and then also be able to make money from Amazon's affiliate program. It's just, there's two different ways that you might see sites if you're on the buying or building or selling side of things.
Well, on those three sides, which do you like? Do you think, let's just talk about two of them, building or buying. We had Walker Dybel on the show a couple of weeks ago talking about build versus buy or buy versus build. He's actually written a book on it. He's coming on the Quiet Light team as an advisor in July. Do you personally, in terms of specifically the affiliate space, Amazon affiliate space, do you think it's better to build or to buy?
Well, I've done all of them, build, buy, sell, every aspect on the Amazon affiliate side. I prefer now, at least, I've been doing this for a lot longer to, well, it really depends, right? Because it depends on, for me, at least, where my capital might be tied up. Either I just recently bought something or I'm doing other investments that are outside the online space and I want to just free up capital. And so I'm not actively looking to buy something, or I'm just trying to focus on, you know, okay, now that I've got that other thing going along, then I can try and focus on scaling up online things as well. I prefer, if I had to pick one, I'd say I prefer building and then being able to sell after that, because for me, at least, I like to be able to invest less of my own personal cash. I know you mentioned Rhodium before, Rhodium Weekend. A lot of the buyers there, they might have access to capital that I don't have access to, through, you know, people that have considerably more money that they can then use as investing partners. And so I suppose if I, given the opportunity, I had more capital, then I would probably be doing more buying. So I guess it's tough to say. If you don't have cash and you want to just get started, then building would make the most sense. And maybe you can sell once you get to a certain point, and that gives you some capital to either reinvest and build more sites, or maybe build or buy other things. But if you have access to capital for any reason, then buying would be great, because you're able to just start with something existing. So.
How long has it been for you from that build to sell? Do you typically hold something for 12, 24, 36 months? What have you seen? What do you try to set as a goal for yourself when you're building something and think, okay, I'm gonna build this to eventually sell it, if that's your goal? How long do you like to hold it for? Or does it just depend?
Well, a lot of the times it's more just it really does depend, because half the time I do these sites, well, most of the time actually when I do these sites, it's more of a matter of, I'm building something up. I like the cash flow. And that's kind of the main goal, is just building up monthly cash flow from various websites, businesses, et cetera. And so that's kind of more of what I'm after, is just getting more cash flow. And then rather than just trying to pull out my capital right away and to sell. So for me, it's more about the cash flow, and I'm not always interested in exactly trying to sell.
How many balls do you have in the air, Amazon affiliate wise? How many sites are you juggling now?
Well, if I were to add up all the different sites, it'd probably be, I have to look.
You know, it's more than a dozen or so when you have to look.
Well, no, it's more, I was trying to get a specific number. I'll say it's less than a dozen, but also including that other affiliate sites that just make money from other CPA type offers as opposed to Amazon.
Gotcha.
Because kind of once, for me, Amazon was a starting point, right? That's kind of how I got into the whole space, was building out this Amazon affiliate site. I was doing it on the side outside of my working hours in a completely unrelated job, and just trying to find a way to earn enough money to do this full time. And then once I started making enough money from Amazon, it opened up, you know, all these different opportunities to try and do other things as well. And that's when it's going into software, creating tools for Amazon affiliate sellers, or affiliates rather, and doing things like that. So
How long has it been since you you were thankfully fired from the last day job you had?
Yeah, I was looking it up. Actually, I have it on my calendar. October 13th is the day, and it'll be 9 years this year, later this year rather, and that'll be 10 years the next year. But that'll be sort of, it'll be what, 2000? Trying to think now what the year it is. 2018. So it was 2009, I believe.
2009.
But yeah,
it's a long time to be self-employed. It's impressive that you pulled it off.
Yeah, I've been, and now for me at least, it's more of a matter of just further building out multiple different income streams and revenue streams from a variety of different businesses. That's a whole other discussion, right? Whether you should focus on just one thing or kind of spread it out. For me, it was more like build something up, it starts making cash, and it's like, well, I don't know if I can really sell this for enough to make it worth selling. It's not going to change my life in any meaningful way. So I'll keep it and have someone help me out to run it. But that's kind of the approach I went with.
So if someone is listening to this and they were in your shoes, you know, where you were 10 years ago and they had a day job and they want to do what you've done, which is build Amazon affiliate sites and make some income on the side, what should they expect? Should they, you know, if they pick a category they like, they do a review site, they sign up, they get involved, should they, would your expectations that they're going to, you know, hit 1 out of 10 on sites that they do, 2 out of 10, 5 out of 10, what would you give them in terms of a ratio so that they can understand? And of course, these are all ballpark numbers. And what kind of money can they really make? I mean, we're talking about, you know, on the small side, a few $1,000 a month, and, you know, the people that are big and really experienced at this, you know, what kind of money are they making?
Yeah. You know, that's a tough, it's tough. I think with a ballpark, it's a challenge to give an answer to that because the experiences that people have may lend themselves to be able to be successful more easily.
All right. Well, look, everybody listens to me. All right. And they're like, Joe, you're an idiot, but I like you. And you know, I have people tell me like, they feel like we're old friends from listening to the podcast, but you know me through Brad, we chatted. If I was to do this, let's be specific. You could say, be honest, say, Joe, you're going to do 1 out of 10. Just face it, Joe, you're not going to do well. I mean, you know, you're the expert. What would you guess if people are going to do this with some decent experience on a thing that they love and they're smart and they can do research online? They're going to go to your podcast. They're going to go to everything about Chris Guthrie and figure out how you do it. What are they going to do? 1 out of 10? 1 out of 5? What do you think?
Learning from me, it's going to be 100%, right?
You're a home run guy every time. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'd say probably it's with a lot of things, you get into it and sometimes they'll hit and they'll do well, right? So for me, best site that I had was doing over 10K a month.
Okay.
Worst site would be like, you know, a few $100 a month. And those might be some of the weaker ones. And then somewhere in between might have, you know, a few thousand or so. Hit rate would be more like maybe 25 to 50% with sites that would be doing pretty well. But it's just really tough to answer that question for me.
You improve that hit rate, I would assume, with the research that you do up front. Is that right? I mean, it's just like a physical products business on, you know, on the web, on Amazon, on Shopify, whatever it is. If you do your research up front, look at the competition, price points, how you're going to sell it, things of that nature.
Yeah.
And you're doing the same thing with Amazon affiliates. You need to pick the product with the right margins, something that you can write about, something that has enough searches online. What tools do you use to help, even if you have a passion for something, whether it's worth it on, you know, whether it's worth creating an Amazon affiliate business? Are there certain tools that you use to help that hit rate go up?
So, well, tools from like the research side of things?
Yeah. Yeah. To help ensure that the path that you're going down is going to be as successful as possible.
Yeah. So I use a lot of SEMrush actually. So I use that tool quite a bit because I like to just pull up a site, see what stuff is ranking well, where they're getting their traffic from. And
do you have the paid subscription for that, or do you just use the free version?
So I fluctuate off and on, right? So if I'm in the process of building or going back to, you know, adding more, then I'll do the paid subscription. And then if it's like, okay, we've got enough stuff on our plate, let's just focus on what we have and not create anything new, then it's like, well, I don't really need the paid subscription right now. So I fluctuate in and out. Ahrefs is another tool I use as well. Although that was another one that I just was like, okay, I got a good sense of where our competitors are shooting their links, where they're getting traffic. And okay, I cancel that one as well. So it's like,
I always get that one wrong. It's Ahrefs. Is that right? We did a giveaway when we launched the podcast on an account, on a subscription for that, but it was Mark's Area of Expertise. Can you spell it out for me?
Yeah, it's Ahrefs.com. And I'm not even sure how you're supposed to pronounce it either. Okay. So, I mean, I met someone that works for the company at a conference as well. I didn't bring that up, but yeah.
Mumble what they said, that'll generally work. If actually the way my 16-year-old does, he just speaks confidently and I believe him when he's no idea what he's talking about, but he speaks confidently. I think that's the trick.
Yeah.
All right. So Ahrefs.
Yep.
You went through it. And that one is more of what links the sites have, right? Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah. So it'd be more like looking at both keywords and the links. For me, I was mainly just trying to see where my keyword rankings were. And so I was kind of more just tracking how those were doing. For SEMrush, that's what I would use, just a tool for research. And the thing is that the thing with tools, and especially the two tools I just mentioned, they've been around for years and years and years. So they have so many different things that I probably didn't even know. Like I probably don't even need one or the other. It's just like when you get comfortable using one tool for one thing, you use it for just that one thing. Mm-hmm. And then you might use the tool for the other thing. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of what the approach I would do.
Okay. So do that research up front. And what you're looking for is traffic, competition, links, things of that nature before you go down the path to increase your success rate. Any other recommendations that you give to somebody just starting off?
That's the main thing I would say as well. I mean, if you're looking at larger sites that are doing well, right? I try to reverse engineer a lot. So when you're looking at, now they're doing your research process and seeing what sites are getting the traffic, beyond just like figuring out, well, why are they getting this traffic? Is it because they have a bunch of different links pointed at them? Is it because their content is, you know, much, much better? That's, I guess I keep coming back to this, but it's always for me differentiation. What is it that they're doing that's really doing that is working really well for them? And then how can I do better than that? And so in the process of doing that research and looking at that, then you're going to see, okay, it looks like they're using, you know, AdThrive or something for their ad platform. And then they're using Amazon's affiliate program, and maybe they're using Linkshare to link to Walmart and things like that. So
from a buyer side, if somebody came to you and said, hey, look, I'm looking at buying this site, can you give me your opinion on it? What things should buyers look for that maybe somebody in the Amazon affiliate space has done to sort of cheat and it's not going to last? Is there anything that stands out that people should be aware of or look for?
It's tough because you want to look at where if they are building links, you want to look at where they're doing it, because there's, you know, PBNs or things like that that are definitely more gray area.
Go ahead and say what PBN stands for, please.
Yeah, private blog networks. That's where people build out like huge networks of blogs. And then they use links on those blogs and point them at the site. And then those blogs are getting traffic or links pointed at them as well. So then it looks like you're getting links from higher quality sites, when in fact they're just sites people have constructed solely for the purpose of pointing links at properties they own or properties that clients own. And I can't remember exactly how long ago it was, but Google cracked down on them quite a bit. From what I've seen, people kind of just got underground and still kind of do them a lot. But so looking at that is helpful. In terms of how a buyer can protect themselves from that, usually you're able to use some of these third-party tools to help check that out. There's also things where if you're signing an agreement that's saying, you know, I haven't used a PBN, and then you find out that they are, because maybe your rankings stop or go down because they've stopped continuing to run that PBN and point the links at you, then that's something you could, you know, have legal recourse to go after them. Mm-hmm. But that might be something on a buying side to include.
Yeah, that's what you definitely don't want to have to do, is to go after them after the fact.
Yeah.
Because you're chasing them for money that you gave them, which is, you know, never a good position to be in.
Yeah.
But certainly, you know, doing the research to see where the traffic's coming from, and see if there is a PBN. And trying to avoid it as much as possible. I think a lot of the times, you know, Chris, getting to know the person, right? Trusting the broker that's involved, if there is one involved, but getting to know the seller in a positive manner. I always recommend, whether it's a $35,000 site, and it could apply to $3,500 as well, or a $3.5 million site, if you're buying it, it's your money, you worked hard for it, get on a plane, spend an extra $1,000, stay at a Holiday Inn, whatever, and meet the person face to face. Do a Zoom or Skype conference call so you can see them and talk to them, but meet them face to face before you close the transaction. You can go under LOI in advance, but I just don't think there's a better substitute, you know, for, you know, a handshake and having a lunch or dinner or beer and getting a better feel for them. Of course, you've got to do that due diligence and that research and hire experts like yourself or Centurico, whoever might do the research. If you don't have it, protect your money. It's something you worked hard for. And I can tell you right now that when you make an investment and you blow it, it's really, really hard to pull the trigger again. I know a lot of people that have done that. I know more people that have been, you know, incredibly successful than unsuccessful, but those that thought they knew everything and thought that everybody was kind and trustworthy like they were, and they pulled the trigger and something changed in the world. There was a shift with an algorithm update or whatnot, and things just fell apart. They can fall apart very quickly. So lots of research, meet somebody face to face, use the tools that you're talking about, the Ahrefs and SEMrush, check for PBNs, things of that nature. Most people are good, right? But it's a few bad ones that you just want to avoid, in my opinion, in my experience. As far as the top line revenue, you think, you know, somebody that can do this, maybe they're making, you know, $10,000 a month if they do really well. How many hours a week are we talking about that it's going to take to operate a business of this nature?
It's definitely, so for... I guess it depends. For me, I can really only speak to my own experiences. So for that site, that like my bigger site that I had before I sold it, it was probably 15 hours a week or so. And then the rest of my time was on other projects. And so it wasn't like a full-time thing because I was doing it outside my day job in the first place. And then I only added a little bit more time because then I thought, okay, well, I've got this new time. I don't want to have all my eggs in one basket because now I have no job and just, you know, one primary site and then other sites that are also helpful, but wouldn't be enough for me to cover my bills. And for at the time I was like, okay, I just want to make sure don't have to go back and get a job.
Yeah, not for bad, right?
And so that's kind of the approach that I took and it worked for that site. It really depends though. I mean, a lot of times too with Amazon affiliate site, especially, you're able to hire out for a lot of aspects of the process of building, either building, maintaining any aspect of that, because it's just content creation. And there are a lot of writers that you can find that can cover that part. And so if you're not doing it yourself and you're finding ways to get yourself out of that process, then it can be, you know, much further reduced. Now I try and just, for me, at least I try to only come up with ideas and then work with people that can help to implement a lot of these it's more just about trying to really limit the amount of time I spend on actually like creating content, for instance, right? I might like to write about something on a blog personally, but if I can have someone else do it, then it would make sense for me to do that.
Yeah. Content creation can take an awful lot of time. Chris, we're running out of time. Can you share any last minute thoughts or recommendations for those that are listening to either building, buying or selling Amazon affiliate sites? Any last minute advice that you would give them?
Yeah, I would just say that, I'd say if anyone's curious or has other questions, feel free to email me.
Without a doubt, I want to, let's talk about how they reach you. We'll put it in the show notes as well, but, you know, throw out whatever email address, phone number, blog, site, anything you want to share right now, I'd be happy to do that. But we'll also put it in the show notes so everybody can find it in writing and get a link there too.
Yeah. So to answer your question, I'd say decide on what you want to do, right? If you're trying to, and everyone probably has a different expertise or where they're at within their life, what they want to do. If you're limited by capital and you don't have a lot of money to invest, then it may make sense to just simply build something so that you can build it up and then come to your brokers like you guys, of course, and then sell it. And that could give you cash that you could then use to reinvest and do those things. And that might be something you would do while you're still at your day job. If you're already on the side where you have access to more money, then, you know, buying something would make sense and being able to then take where you're at and growing it from there. But really, I just say that decide which focus you want to go with. Make sure you find ways to differentiate. I've been kind of harping on that this whole time. But for me, everything that I've done with any business, it's always been for me differentiation and mm-hmm. finding ways to do much better than the competition.
That seems to be the best keyword here is just be different. You don't want to be like everybody else, differentiate yourself, still do all the things right, still build something that people want to come to and trust, but differentiate yourself in whatever way you can. Excellent. Chris, how do people reach you? How do they find you? Share any information you can now so that they can get in touch with you and talk about this.
Yeah, so best place would probably just be upfuel.com, which is my site. We don't talk about it much, but I also have a WordPress plugin that helps people with Amazon affiliate things as well. And that's easyazon.com.
Easyazon.com?
Yeah, so if you're running WordPress, and you know, a lot of people do, of course, then that's a software you can use to help with creating links and earning more money from those links as well.
Excellent. I'll make sure that link is in the show notes as well. So upfuel.com, easyazon.com. Anywhere else that you are in the world?
Twitter at Chris Guthrie. And so those are probably the main ones. But I'm happy to, if you're on the buying side and you're just looking at a second opinion, I've just done well with trying to provide value to people with no expectation of return. And then things work out. So
I agree. Just help people have good conversations and it comes back around. Yeah. All right, man. Listen, I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks so much for your time. Hopefully folks that are either building, buying, or selling Amazon affiliate sites will get some good resources here. Thanks for your time today. Appreciate it.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Quiet Light Podcast. For more resources from this episode, head over to quietlightbrokerage.com. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a rating and review in iTunes. This helps share the messages from the show with more business owners like you.